amazing thought. You know, I'm not necessarily preaching on this tonight, but about that blood, you know, the cleansing blood of Christ is that it just doesn't wash one time. It's washing eternally. The eternal power of the blood of Jesus Christ, it is cleansing us for all eternity. Nothing will ever get in the way of the blood of Jesus Christ. There will never be a sin in my life again that the blood of Jesus Christ does not cleanse. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to worry about certain sins or getting to a point where the blood stops covering. Hallelujah, if I'm born again of a child of God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth me. And that's not a license to sin, but praise God, it's a truth that will encourage the born-again believer to keep marching on even when there's failure. Even when sin is allowed to come in, we confess it and there's that eternal cleansing of that fellowship, but positionally it's done, it's cleansed for all eternity. Hallelujah for that. But I'm thankful for the cleansing blood of Jesus. Well, I hope everybody's had a good week. And that midweek service, that time to come in and get the batteries recharged, the spiritual batteries. And, you know, out there in that world, they can very easily get weakened because, Lord willing, they're being used a lot. Amen. Amen. I hope they're you're just getting out there and seeking to be a blessing to others, trying to just love on others and show the love of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about some of that tonight. I had a good little couple days where I was able to go to Greenwood. Joanna and I and the children, we went down to Greenwood for 2 days, left here after the service sometime late Sunday night, but went down there. We got back yesterday, and that was a blessing. We were able to help my mom with some things, and also we're able to bring some things back with us and get another load ready. I think we got one more load to bring back from Greenwood. This will probably be like the 15th load, but hopefully after that will be done. I got a little recharge there, not just spiritually. I went to a tent meeting one night. It was a real blessing. But then I was recharged physically too. I had the great privilege of having some of Mama's cornbread. Oh, I ain't talking about that jiffy stuff, folks. I'm talking about the real deal. All right, that's the good old crusty cornbread and using the iron skillet. And man, I tell you what. Now, Mom, she takes it to another level. I don't quite take it to the level she does. Mom likes to pour buttermilk on her cornbread. I don't want anything to do with buttermilk. Okay. If just you want buttermilk, just let your milk expire about 2 weeks and then just drink it like that. But anyway, we were able to get some of Mama's good cooking. And Joanna, she is converted to a true Southern. She loves good old cornbread. And she likes the iron skillet kind. And I think she's kind of left the jiffy behind, and I'm thankful. So, but it was good to get away a couple of days. But it is good to be back. And we're going to pick up in our studies in Ephesians. Our study in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to pick back up with the whole armor of God. We've been doing a study in this passage about putting on the whole armor of God. Speaking of getting some good food and whatnot, we were on our way back, and Marianne taught me a good excuse of when we need to get food, when it's time to eat. We were coming back, and she was supposed to get sufficient amount of food, but she didn't eat all she was supposed to. And we told her, now listen, you don't eat all your supper, you're not getting a snack later. That always happens. I'm hungry 10 minutes after she eats. But I said, no, you're not going to do that. And but she did. But she said, but Daddy, my stomach, it's mad. And then she took it to, then she said it a little better. She really tried to put the pressure on me, folks. And she said, Daddy, I don't want my stomach being mad at me. I think I did say, well, he's just going to have to be mad, honey. We're going, we're moving on. But that was a good one. My stomach's mad, okay? And I don't want him being mad at me. So she's precious. Appreciate her Adamic nature there. But anyway, We're here in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading. We'll just begin, pick up right there in verse number 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now that's where we left off last week. When we talked about having on the breastplate of righteousness. And this week we're going to pick up in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to read it again, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's pray together. Father, I am very thankful for this midweek service. Lord, I'm thankful for this good Wednesday night crowd. And Lord, without a doubt, I know many could probably justify it in some way just to stay home tonight, to either get caught up on rest or just to be able to do some other chores around the house, different things, Lord. But your folks, Lord, your children, these dear folks have chosen to be faithful, to come to the midweek service and to hear the Word of God and to pray with the brethren. And I pray you'd bless them, Lord, for their willingness and their obedience. To come to the local church. Lord, we just want to grow together. Pray you'd teach us tonight, Holy Spirit, your truth here. I pray you would work in hearts the way only you can, Lord. I have no power to do that, and I admit that tonight. I confess that, mighty God. I'm asking you to work in our hearts tonight and draw us closer to yourself, Lord, as we seek to understand the whole armor of God. In this day that we stand against the evil powers of Satan, who is seeking to devour us. Oh God, help us to understand and grow more than ever in this area as we seek to stand stronger than ever. For your glory, oh God, I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we get down to this part of the armor now. We've talked about the loins girt about with truth. Everything that we have is in the armor of the Christian is fastened together by that belt of truth, and how important truth is in our life, and to understand that the Word of God is truth. It stands. It's unchangeable, and something that we consider the vital part of the armor holding everything together. Then we moved down and talked about the breastplate of righteousness. How, yes, we stand righteousness positionally in Jesus Christ, which is most definitely a part of that armor, but also a part of that breastplate is our practical righteousness, or we could say practical holiness, our decision to separate ourselves from sin and to be holy. And the perfection of the Christian, I heard one author say, I believe he worded it like this: we can't be perfect, but we can strive towards perfection. That's the mark, of course. We will never attain that perfectly. Everyone knows that. We have an Adamic nature. It's totally and absolutely impossible to be perfect here on this earth. But one thing we can do is we can strive by the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. We can strive towards perfection. And I believe that that God will bless that desire to go towards being pure and righteous and holy and separated unto Him. But now we're going to move down to the feet. We've had the loins and the breastplate, and now Paul moves to the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, at first take at this, one might jump to the conclusion that he is referring to the Christian soldier and his witness. Now, however, that can be applied to this verse of Scripture. I believe it can be, most definitely, but I do not believe that is the direct interpretation of this verse. I believe that what Paul was saying here, and when he's talking about this feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace, he's simply talking about putting on peace. The peace in the Christian's life, and that's what I want to talk about tonight, with the Lord's help, is simply the peace in the Christian's life. Or you could title it this way: putting on peace. You know, I know others would say, well, what do you do with the verse in Romans where it talks about how beautiful are the feet those that you know, preach good tidings, and then in Isaiah and others. That's true. Again, there's an application there. But remember, we're reading this, we're interpreting this within the context of the passage. And he's talking about the armor, okay? And what significance was the armor, or if you want to say, the sandals or the boots of the Christian soldier? Well, there are several that I want to mention tonight, and we're going to correlate those and see how they apply to our lives as having the whole armor of God on, or at least the sandals here, our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Now, our feet here, shod means to be put on, to be fastened. The sandals that they had, man, the way they were constructed, it was not necessarily just shoelaces, but it was these leather straps that many times went all the way up to the knee, and it wrapped around the feet very strategically. And that which was underneath the sole was made of a hard material. I know when I was in, I could not believe it, how strong goat hide was. When we went to Niger, the Tuaregs who lived out in the Sahara Desert wore these sandals that was made from goat skin, and I could not believe the hardiness and the durability of these sandals out in the Sahara sand. And man, you're talking about some thorns about that long. Man, you wearing something that's just got old rinky-dink rubber sole, you didn't stand a chance. You could really get hurt from something like that. But they could not penetrate those Tuareg sandals, that skin. And the Roman soldiers, they had something constructed, a very durable leather, strong, that would protect the bottom of their feet. And so that's something that we see here, that we're going to see how that relates to peace in the Christian's life. One of the things we see here in our verse is that word, the preparation. That's very significant. That's very significant to this verse, the preparation. We always need to be ready. That word preparation means simply to be on guard, to be ready at any time, to be prepared. And I want to tell you, if the Christian soldier was going to be prepared, they had to have those sandals on, ready for battle. Now, Brad and Ben and you guys that are playing football right now, how ridiculous would it be to go out there, especially as a lineman, to go out without your cleats, to go out there with something, I tell you something that is contrary to give you some traction or guard is bowling shoes. You ever notice how slick those things are? Anybody here like bowling? I like bowling, but I'm terrible, I admit it. But one time I remember I went bowling, and man, I think our first date was bowling, wasn't it? Oh, that's so sweet you remember that. We went bowling, and I was scared to death. I think I bowled terribly because I did not want to slip and get on my backside, because, you know, that was very tempting just to go in there and throw it all, show her how manly I was. But I'm telling you what, those shoes are slick. They give you no traction. But that was not the case for these Roman soldiers. They had some sandals that also would have these cleats underneath them to give them the traction, sometimes made of metal, that would dig into the ground and give them the stability they need. That's very, very important as we study this thing of peace as we move along. But what are some other ways that this irreplaceable part of the armor, what are some other significant ways this armor helped the soldier? Well, they provided mobility, ready to go at any time at the battle. He has them on, he's ready to go. He's not ready until he has them on. Gives stability, like I said, traction, able to stand. You know, I like what Warren Wiersbe said here. He said, even the best of soldiers is rendered ineffective if he cannot stand up. Even the best of soldiers is rendered ineffective if he cannot stand up. And so he can have the breastplate of righteousness, he can have the helmet of salvation, he can have the sword of the Spirit, but if he is not able to stand, he's ineffective. And so we need to understand the importance of these sandals here, these shoes, if you will, that he is putting on here. Not only does it give stability, but get this.
Hey, listen, folks, they didn't have all the armored vehicles we have in our military now. Think about all the military vehicles that we have, man, those Hummers, which I'm thankful for, man, this is just top of the line. They got all kinds of transportation that way, but most of these Roman soldiers, dear friend, they would be walking to their destinations. They would be walking miles and miles and miles and miles, and these shoes would give them the longevity that they needed for battle, for war. And also, I was reading about the significance behind these sandals is that many times when they would go to war in these cities, there would be traps set. It would be unlikely that they would go into a city that they're going to battle where there hadn't been traps set up. And a lot of times those traps would be broken glass on the ground. They'd be broken. They'd have just sharp shrapnel, if you will, laid out for the soldiers when they came in. And if they didn't have a durable shoe, it would cut right through them. And if they had a cut, serious cuts underneath their feet, and they got infected, guess what? They're no good. They're no good. So you see the significance of the shoe here, and that it was ready for battle. It was very important that they took very good care of their feet, so they could stand against the enemy, so they could be stable, and so they could have some longevity about them and some durability. Can I say this? Without peace, the Christian is in great, great danger of being taken out by Satan. Now, when I say taken out, I'm not being taken out of God's hands, eternal security. I mean just your testimony being taken out. You understand that? The Christian soldier who does not realize the importance of the peace in his life, as we see here that it represents, the shoes represent peace, the gospel of peace, he is rendered ineffective. Let me give you three ways very quickly tonight, with God's help. I'm going to talk about this subject of peace. I cannot exhaust this subject tonight, but I believe I'm going to tell you what I believe God's put on my heart. This thing of peace with the Christian is so important. If it wasn't, Paul wouldn't even have gone there. But it is so important when Satan is trying to discourage us, when Satan is trying to disable us, when Satan is trying to divide us, our homes, our churches, we must understand the great importance of the peace in the Christian's life. This peace, I say, number one, is peace with God. Peace with God. Listen, you would be nothing. I would be nothing. And the force against the forces of Satan without having peace with God. Can I ask you something tonight? Do you have peace with God? Because see, what we're talking about here is going at war, if you will, against Satan, which that's what Paul was saying, against the demonic armies. But get this, before this war against Satan, there was a war against God. Do you realize the Word of God says there in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son." You see, before we were reconciled, we were at war with God. And my friend, one of the, I believe, the scariest places on earth for anybody to be is to be in a position of war with the Creator God. And if you're sitting in here tonight, which I hope you're not, if you're sitting in here tonight and you are at war with God, you will never win. You will never win. How can you be at war with God? You have yet to receive the Son, His only Son, Jesus Christ. And that is how we're enemies. But thank God, the peace that God wants to bring because of the sin that has caused us to be at war with God, because of our sin, because we inherited that from Adam and the curse from the beginning. But thank God for Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. I would love to preach on that, but I'm not. It's just justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through Crooked Creek Baptist Church that I have peace with God. It's not through my baptism. It's not through my position as a pastor that I have peace with God. It's not that I've given and done this and that and loved my fellow man. It's not any of that that gives me peace with God. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ. It is through His blood that we have peace with God. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For He is our peace, Jesus Christ, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And verse 16 says this, "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Slain the enmity. I thank God tonight, and I hope you do too. I'm no longer an enemy of God. We've made peace. I'm no longer fighting against the Creator. I'm no longer battling with the God of my salvation. But no, I've been brought to Him by the blood and the cross of Jesus Christ. And I hope you have too, friend. Listen, God does not want to be at war with you. He wants to be at peace with you. And if there's no peace in your heart tonight that you have peace with God, hey, get that settled. Don't leave here as an enemy with God, because I'm telling you what, you are no match for Satan. There's no way you can stand against him. You see the importance of having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is the gospel of peace that saves us and brings us into a right relationship with Almighty God. There's power in peace, friend. And that is the first part of the peace we see. And I move quickly here. But not only do we see peace with God, but we see the peace of God. Having the peace of God. Listen, you can't have the peace of God until you've had peace with God. But this is something that even the Christian can lose. We can lose the peace of God. And I want to tell you something. When we lose the peace of God, Christian, let's mark it down tonight. If you're in here tonight and you have a turmoil, your heart is in turmoil. You're just worrying about everything. Maybe it's just one thing, but you worry about it all the time. Listen, can I tell you something? You are opening yourself up for the fiery darts of Satan because you need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And if you do not have those your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, you no longer are stable. You no longer are going to have longevity. You are going to give up on God. You are going to give up on life because Satan has robbed you of the peace that you have of God. You see, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing," means don't be anxious, don't worry, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." We like to leave that one out. "Let your requests be made known unto God," and get this, "and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." No one can get their minds wrapped around that. Listen, somebody try to describe, I mean, maybe your greatest theologian can, I don't know, but if somebody tries to say, "Well, how can you describe the peace of God?" I can't explain it, but I know it's possible because I've experienced it and so have you. But we can quickly lose it if we're not careful. When we try to worry, when we try to take these things on our hands, and we see the peace of God that keeps us. And how do we do that? I believe verse 8 tells us a way we do that. We keep our minds on the right things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Yeah, boy, Satan never get a hold of y'all when you get in trouble when you start daydreaming. When you start thinking about things that you're just imagining. As somebody's saying, you're barring trouble. You're trying to figure out this situation. You're trying to figure out certain things, why this and that happened. And it's not true. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The peace of God is so important for us tonight. Has Satan robbed you of your peace, Christian soldier? Are you left unstable now? Are you slipping all over the place? Or have you fell down because you've lost your grip of peace? Be reminded tonight that God wants you to have peace in your heart. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." That peace, let it umpire, let it control you. Don't let the worries control you. Don't let the failures control you. Don't let the future control you. Don't let the past control you. Let the peace of God control you. Second Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Peace comes from the Lord. Peace comes with having peace with God, having the peace of God. And let me close with my third point here. I believe this peace is just as important as having peace with others. Peace with others. I believe that in the very depths of my soul, that just as we should have the peace of God, we should have peace with others. Because if you don't have peace with others, that simply is saying you don't have the peace of God. And it very well could mean that you don't have peace with God. But let me read this to you. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says this, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." You know what? That's what the Word of God is saying. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. God is calling us, church, to be peacemakers. This may sound paradoxical to you, but get this. God has called us to make war with peace. God has called us to make war with peace. How do you say that? We start off with having peace with God. We go to war with Satan because we accept Jesus Christ. And as soon as somebody accepts the beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, they automatically start war with Satan. And so He wants us to be at war, but He wants us to be at war with peace. And we need to be at peace with others. Listen, I don't know if there's somebody in your life right now, young people, there might be a mom or a dad that you're bitter at, you're not at peace with. Can I say that you are opening yourself up for the attacks of Satan to hurt you and harm you and ultimately destroy you? Parents, the same thing with your children. If you're bitter towards your children, you are opening yourself up to the attacks of Satan. Listen, if there's a neighbor, if there's a family member, a spouse that you are being bitter towards, you are opening yourself up to the fiery darts of Satan. You will not, with that kind of attitude and that kind of mentality, can I say, you do not have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want to tell you, you're going to be slipping all over the place and you're going to end up on your face. We will end up on our face, there's no doubt about it. Peace with others. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. In the context of chastening of the Lord and correction, he says, "Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Now get this, verse 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." No man can see the Lord unless you are willing to be at peace with even your enemies, Jesus Christ said. Some of you are refusing to make peace with somebody because the way they have treated you or offended you. Can I say, please, I exhort you with all long-suffering. I exhort you with all love. Do not do that. Because what you are saying is, "Lord, I don't want my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want to be slipping all over the place. I don't want to continue. I'm failed. I'm down." Don't do that. You tonight in your heart, you go to the person tomorrow, even tonight, as soon as you can, you go to that person and you make peace. And listen, you can make peace with somebody you don't agree with. Don't ever forget that. You may have been offended. You may have done something. You can let the person know, "Listen, I didn't agree with what you did, but I forgive you because I want to be at peace with you. I want to be ready for the onslaughts of Satan. I want to be ready to stand. I don't want to lose my grip." Some of you have lost your grip. What does James say to us? He says, "But the wisdom that is from above," the wisdom that comes from the Father, wisdom that comes from God, is what? First pure, then what? Peaceable. It's peaceable. It's gentle. Easy to be entreated. Boy, that speaks of peace. Full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, get this, of them that make peace. Can I ask you something tonight, brethren? Are you a peacemaker? Are you a peace breaker? Are you longing to make peace with those that God has brought into your life? Because if you don't, you are opening yourself up very seriously and very openly to Satan taking you out. Because without peace in your life, you have no stability. You cannot stand. And as we mentioned before, those soldiers, man, when that was hand-to-hand combat, close encounter, man, they had to be able to stand. They had to be able to stand and plant themselves so they wouldn't be movable. And I'm telling you, boy, if you're lacking peace tonight and you're not letting the peace of God control you, you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace with others, you're open game. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says. He says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile." Now get this. "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace." Can I say that again? Let him seek peace and ensue it. Go after it. Want peace. Be hungry for peace. There are some that would rather have division, that would rather have contention. They almost look at having contention as a hobby. But God says that shouldn't be for the child of God. It is for him to be after it, to look after it. Listen, you know, like I said again, I'll say it again because it's worth repeating. The quote, Warren Wiersbe, "Even the best of soldiers is rendered ineffective if he cannot stand up." How are you standing tonight, brethren? Perhaps you're here tonight and you're without Christ, and I want to say you don't have anything to stand on tonight, because Jesus Christ is the one we stand upon. He is the one we put on, stand on. He is the one we are in. And if you don't have Him tonight, there's no way. And there's no way that you can have peace in your heart. Listen, you may be in tonight, you may be doubting your salvation. You may, and the devil is wreaking havoc in your life because you don't have any peace. Can I tell you, he has rendered you ineffective if he is taking your peace away. There's no sense in going forward. I'll mention more about that in the next message. But if you're doubting your salvation, if you don't even have peace, if you don't even have the peace with God, that he's taking care of your sins, that's all in the past, Satan is going to make a havoc of you. And don't continue like that. You get that settled. You don't continue another day until you see somebody that you know loves the Lord and will talk with you and not look down on you, but will come alongside you and help you get to where you know you have peace with God. And then the peace of God. Listen, the sandals were irreplaceable. They were an irreplaceable part of the armor. They provided mobility, stability, longevity, durability. You know, man, when Satan's darts come, they don't always come the same way. Sometimes, man, the Christian soldier, when he's fighting, he's got one dude coming after him while he's fighting the other. He has to turn. He has to be ready. And listen, Satan's not going to always attack us the same way, church. Sometimes he throws some tricks at us that we've never seen before. We got to be ready to move. But that mobility is only going to come when you are ruled by the peace of God. I'm so thankful that God has given us the ability to have peace with Him, to have the peace of God, as we do not worry, as we do not be anxious, as we cast our burdens upon the Lord. And by the way, that passage of the chastening that we read about in Hebrews about just follow after peace and be at peace. Listen, you can be at peace when there's chastening. The chastening might not even be in your life. The chastening might be in someone else's. You might be observing somebody that's truly being chastened by the God of heaven, and it's tearing you up. Listen, be at peace. Follow after peace. Trust the Lord in all areas, because that will bring peace. I like what Paul Chappell said. I just heard it today by accident, actually. But I believe God gave it to me for this message. He said, "The peace of God is not the absence of trouble, it is the presence of God." The peace of God is not the absence of trouble. A lot of times that's when we think there's peace. But no, peace is simply the presence of God in our life. We have peace with Him. We have the peace of Him. We're dwelling on Him. We're thinking on Him. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. We're thinking on them. And then we're at peace with others. We're forgiving others as Christ has forgiven us. we're making things right with others. Listen, I hope that tonight you will think about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and that you won't just wipe that away as being insignificant part of the armor. It is very important. Let your feet be shod tonight with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace.